Welcome to the Pope St. John the 23rd Vocation Podcast with Monsignor William Fay. Here at Pope St. John the 23rd Seminary, we realize it's never too late to respond to God's call. If you're a man 30 or older, discerning a possible call to the priesthood, or someone who supports these later vocations, this is the podcast for you.
Good day to everybody, and welcome to our podcast, Never Too Late, here at Pope St. John the 23rd Seminary. We're so grateful to you for the way in which you tune into our podcast, and for the prayers that you offer us and the feedback that you give us. We're really pleased that we're connecting with you, and it's our opportunity to show you something about Pope St. John Seminary. It's my delight today to welcome Deacon Joe Gonzalez from the great Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. Joe was ordained this past spring and had a summer assignment in the Archdiocese of Washington and is back now to complete his fourth and last year of seminary formation. Joe, it's great to welcome you here today.
Thank you, Monsignor. I'm very glad to be here and thank you for inviting me.
It's great to have you. I wanted to talk a little bit. You've got a very, very beautiful back experience, one that contributes greatly to who we are as a nation. You served in the nation's Marine Corps. Can you talk a little bit about how you found yourself in the Corps and what were some of the responsibilities that you had along the way?
Yeah, I joined the Marine Corps in 1992, about a year after graduating high school, and I was just going wherever the wind blows, and I needed to find some direction, and that led me to the Marine Corps. And while I was there, you know, do all the basic training, the job description that I had is field radio operator, mm-hmm. and I was attached to artillery unit. And so we deployed. We deployed a couple of times to Somalia. And my job, just doing the best that I can, learning my job, trying to be responsible and doing everything. I just went up the ladder and ended up becoming the radio chief for my battery.
Good for you.
So I was doing well. I wanted to stay in. I was very close to re-enlist, but the Lord's providence decided to leave.
And you mentioned to me along the way in a conversation that it was while you were in the Marine Corps that you actually were given an invitation to consider the priesthood.
It was very early on. It wasn't to me directly, but it was to the group of guys that were at Mass. Every Sunday in boot camp, you have the opportunity to go to Mass. And the chaplain at the end of Mass said, you guys ever thought about the priesthood? And everybody's looking around like, no. But that night, we went back at the barracks, getting ready for the next day, thinking about it, praying about the day, and I said to the Lord, I said, I could consider it, but not right now. Mm-hmm. I got to finish what I started, and that was it. But throughout that my whole enlistment, I saw the Lord in my life, and just with our ways of going up and down in our faith walk. By the end of my enlistment, I wasn't even going to Mass. But my mother, the first weekend I was home, my mother wakes me up and she says on a Sunday, let's go to Mass. And I told her, I'm not going to Mass. I told you that. Well, give me a ride. Okay.
And when good for your mother.
God bless her. When we pulled into the parking lot, I said to her, I'll wait for you. She didn't even bat an eye. She got out the car and walked into church. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching all the families in the parking lot walking towards the church. And I know these families. They were the CCD teachers, and I know these women and the old lady were all praying for me and seeing the kids that have grown up, and they're very tall now, and I was like, let me go in. And when I sat down and I went to go sit where I always sat, I looked at the altar, I looked at the tabernacle, and I felt like I was home. And so I sat through the Mass, and at the end of that Mass, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, okay, I'm here, and all these questions that I have and these doubts that I have, you have to show me, but I promise to keep coming. And the Lord heard that. I mean, he hears everything, but that was one of the key moments in my life that I know that he grabbed it right away. He acted on it right away.
Good for you. And that's the way the Lord is. Francis Thompson wrote a beautiful poem called The Hound of Heaven, and the Lord is exactly that. He'll keep reaching. He wants all of us ultimately to live with him perfectly in heaven. And if we just open ourselves to that, that's where we're going to land.
Yeah.
Not that we won't have to do some purification. I'm sure that I know I will. I'm sure most of us will have to do that. But the Lord knows exactly where he wants us and where it's good. So you started thinking about the priesthood But you also told me that you got involved in some lay leadership within the Catholic Church. How did that develop?
Yeah, it was. So I started serving in the church, going to all the retreats. And my mother was always there. So wherever she was, I was there because I was her ride. And so I found myself getting involved with the retreats, with the youth group, with the CCD. And it wasn't all boom and one right away. It was gradual. And at one point, I said, I have to become serious about, am I really going to serve these kids or am I just, you know, marking time here? So when I made that decision, I started forming myself. I went to these lay leadership classes that the Archdiocese was giving. And that really, all the questions, or many of the questions that I had, were starting to get answered so clearly. And there were, you know, there were priests that were giving those classes. And as they were teaching, and there were things that I've heard before, but at this point, or at least that point in my life, it clicked. And when I heard it, it gave me so much joy. And that's what I was looking forward to, that just getting to that joy of hearing the word, but then it was something more. It was more. And so the other part was serving the kids. And then seeing where the kids, how much they need people to be in their lives. You know, they have their families, but also the church, the community. And I felt that I was filling that part with them because I was with the youth. I have parents say to me, my kids spend more time with you than they do with us because, you know, we're going to retreats, we're doing the pilgrimages, we did some missions. And so in that whole experience, I saw how God was moving in our lives, not just mine, but in theirs too.
That's a great thing. So it was not just a matter of catechesis. Were you involved in catechesis at
all?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
But it was youth formation, really, across the board, huh?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And the kids, you know, what they really need, I found out, was they want their questions answered. And so they would bring up the questions in the confirmation classes. And just that dialogue back and forth helped us. Me and being explained it to them, because you know sometimes the best way to learn is to teach.
Exactly.
And then for them, you know, they were getting an answer. Maybe they didn't understand it completely, but enough for them to continue to grow towards the Lord.
That's a terrific thing. A terrific thing. You surprised me when you said that you knew Cardinal Sean O'Malley, but you knew him really as a young boy.
Yes. Yeah, I remember as far back as I can remember. He was the priest that was celebrating Mass at St. Matthew's Cathedral at the, we call it the Capilla Latina, the Latin Chapel in Washington, D.C. And he was the priest. And I always looked up to him. I remember sitting in Mass, and we used to sit in the back, and there were the candles there. You know, 4 years old, I wanted to light all the candles. But I didn't. I behaved myself. But now when I find myself there, and I remember when I was 4 years old, being at the Mass and seeing Father elevate the consecrated host. Now I light those candles. I'll put my offering, but I light all the candles.
Good for you. Good for you. Have you had a chance to tell him that you remember him as a boy?
Oh, yes. When I first got here, when I came to visit, it was, I knew he was the Archbishop of Boston, but it didn't click. And when I came to visit here the first time, he came to celebrate Mass, and it was a Friday, so it was Spanish. He took me back. I felt like I was 4 years old again. And at the end of that Mass, I told him, I said, "Your Eminence, you made me feel like I was 4 years old again." And he said, "How did I do that?" And I tell him the story, and he was just smiling. And
well, anybody who knows Cardinal Sean O'Malley knows that he talks about his experience in Washington as if it was the formative time for his priesthood.
Oh, everybody in D.C. loves him. The other day, I was telling some other families that I'm up here and that I encounter him, and they were like, "Oh, I remember him," and they have their stories. It's just beautiful to hear.
Tell me about you. At one time, were asked by friends, peers, to think about the diaconate. What was that all about?
No, it's weird. This is at work. Guys that I work with, and I've always shared the faith in one way or another. And one day, this coworker said, "You ever thought about the diaconate?" And I said, "No." "You should really think about it." I said, "Okay." I mean, I was enjoying what I was doing as a layperson, serving. And people that I talked to were sharing with me. They would say, "You know, as a layperson, you do certain things that priests can't do. And as a priest, there are certain things lay people can't do." And so you just have that clear in your mind. But that just fed it. And soon, at some point, we were having vocations retreats for the youth, mm-hmm. and I was thinking, why aren't these kids standing up? Why are they very interested? And in adoration, I mean, I didn't hear the voice, but I felt this. Well, mm-hmm. what about you? Mm-hmm. And at that point, I remember when I was 18 years old, back at boot camp in Paris Island, would you consider being a priest? And then after that, that was another mode of thinking, discernment, beginning discernment in a true way. But it was great.
Yeah, that's great. I want to mention something to our listeners that I've mentioned before. It is tremendously important if you think that a man you know could be a good priest, it's really vital that you say something to him. Very often, that's a key that unlocks a door for thinking, for praying, for reflecting, and people need to hear that kind of thing. I think most of us, when we first thought about the priesthood, thought that we were unworthy of it. But for someone else to say, I see something in you, that happened to me, it happened to so many of us, but I really encourage you. And as you well know, this is a seminary for older candidates, and there are lots of men in middle age who would make very fine priests. This house is filled with them, and they're out there, and they just need a little direction. We talked about youth ministry and the activity that you got involved in with some lay leadership. Do you see that being a kind of area in priesthood that you're going to look forward to very much?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Because what I received is what I want to give back and continue on. And just the fruit that's growing up out of me, there's many more that are ready to give that fruit. Yeah.
Well, just hearing your enthusiasm and talking about it and what you were doing, that comment that the parents made, that the kids were with you more than they were at home, it was quite interesting. Obviously, there's something attractive about you. What they're seeing in you is what you saw in Cardinal Sean,
I hope so.
Yeah, that's what they're looking for. You're getting ready to finish up this year, 4 years at Pope St. John. Talk to me a little bit, Joe, about what you found challenging and what you found rewarding about coming back to school after being many years away, not just academically, but moving into this kind of life.
Right. Well, the challenge for me at first when I came to Pope St. John the 23rd, it was COVID. COVID had just hit. We were in our rooms. We just had to adapt to the way things. And so that wasn't ideal. But during that time alone in the room, there was plenty of time to pray. Mm-hmm. There were times that I had to go out for a walk. Mm-hmm. And being in Boston for the first time, well, not the first time, but the first time actually staying here, living here, that was good for me. Through nature, there's this beautiful place in this neighborhood that really helped me. And then as far as the rewarding part, the camaraderie that we're making with all my brother seminarians, mm-hmm. We all have different walks of life, different backgrounds, but here, at some point we start to click. And we help each other, and we're worried about each other, and we pray for each other, and that's what I'm really happy about here.
Yeah, I'm always amazed that despite the many, many different walks of life that you have all been engaged in, you come together in a very beautiful way. There's no hierarchy among seminarians whatsoever. It's just one very, very beautiful fraternity.
Yeah, and then I remember my first year here, there was a deacon, and he made it clear, we're here as brothers. We're here to help each other out. Any problem, any struggle you're having with the books, with prayer, whatever, he really made himself available, not just to me, but to many people. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think all of us try to do with each other. That example was huge.
Good for you. It's a really important thing, and I think it's what makes the place tick in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. So, well, I want to thank you very much for being with me today and to share some experiences in your life. These podcasts we originally developed to be able for other men who might be considering the priesthood to hear the stories of different seminarians, how they got into the seminary and what happened once they did. But we know that we have a pretty good audience of others who are just curious about what the life of a seminarian is. And we want to thank you all so very much. Again, I want to mention for your prayers, for your support, and for your encouragement to these men when you get to meet them. Once again, from Pope St. John, the 23rd National Seminary in Weston, the town of Weston, Massachusetts, I want to thank you and God bless you all.
Thank you for listening, and be sure to check out our website at www.psjs.edu. Remember, the first step to answering God's call is making the call. 781-899-5500.